Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello everybody, welcome to Signs of Life Radio Mediums Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm very honored and privileged to have these one-on-one conversations with these very talented and gifted mediums. Today's no exception. Our guest is Siri Bernstein. Siri Bernstein is a medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation who has been blessed with the gift of mediumship throughout her life. After embracing her clairvoyance, premonitions, and vivid dreams, she decided to use her abilities to heal and comfort those who have lost loved ones. She has lived all around the world and understands the complexity of many languages, and she has an ability that has helped her mediumship. She holds a dual degree from MFA from Tufts University and School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and she continues to utilize every opportunity to master all the tools of spirit communication. She is also a Reiki master and maintains her private practice in Massachusetts. She'll be able to, probably the best way to get a hold of her is through her website at www.spiritoflight.com. So just before we introduce Siri, just want to put a couple of things out there that our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters, like the Comic Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and others. And as always, this show, the second Thursday of every month, is conducted for research and informational purposes. So your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Siri will not be performing any readings tonight. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. So with all that said, Siri, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Roman. It's wonderful to be on the show.
Hey, great to have you here. Yeah, so how have you been surviving this brand new pandemic world?
Oh, I've been really lucky because I've been able to fly over to Europe, and I have spent, honestly, I spent most of this last year in Iceland. And
wow.
I left in sometime in March, and I came back in May, and then I left again in June, and I came back in August, and I'm going back.
So
I have this freedom. Say what?
I'm sorry?
So I said we have this freedom that some of us Europeans, we can fly back and forth.
Right, absolutely. And how is the pandemic in Iceland? Is it more or less under control over there?
Oh yeah, it's a completely different story. I think that the Scandinavian countries, they've dealt with it much, much better than what has happened in the United States.
I'm sure.
They have superior healthcare system. They have free healthcare for everyone, and I think that plays a little bit of a role. They also have very stable government. That plays a role too.
Unlike us.
It's just a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that Scandinavians, we are known to have free education. We're known to have the free healthcare. We pay a little bit more taxes, but the difference is so small that you would never notice.
Well, you're talking to the choir there, Siri, because I'm from Canada. I'm originally a Canadian.
Oh, you're Canadian.
So I know all about free healthcare and free education and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in Canada, they take a lot more taxes off than in the States. That's for sure. It's
they do.
More than half your salary. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't do half the salary not in Iceland. They do maybe 30-some percent, maybe 39, 40%, but not half.
Yeah.
But also income can be quite higher.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, welcome back to the States, and for a little while at least. And I was communicating with Bob Ginsberg, and he had a great idea. Mm-hmm. We're going to change things up a little bit for today's show. Instead of me formulating all the questions and everything, Bob put out a feeler to all the Forever Family Foundation members, and he shot out some emails and asked for their input and what kind of questions would you like to have read on the show. So I got a couple of those questions that I'll be asking you, and they're pretty easy. Before we do that, so tell us a bit about your childhood and how you developed these mediumistic abilities and everything.
So it's interesting that you should ask, because I was just talking to two reporters today, and one of them actually said to me, "Are you ever going to write a book?" And I said, "Yes, I have decided today that I will do it. People have been nagging me about it, so
good
my childhood is going to be." Yeah, well, I'm not much of a writer. I'm more of a storyteller, but I have no idea how to start this thing. But childhood, I would say, I grew up with a tremendous amount of freedom. I traveled the world when I was a kid because my dad worked for the airlines, and so I had a lot of exposure to the world at large. And then I grew up close to the seashore, and my playground was the black beaches, and it was like heaven on earth. And it's really, really safe because when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of crime. And we could play outside until, if I was 10 years old, I was able to play outside until 10 p.m. in the summertime. And if I was 11 years old, until 11 p.m. And so there was this freedom. And so I knew when I was a kid, I was really awkward. I was just a really quirky kid. And I had a different view on life than many of my friends. I don't know what it was, but I was quirky. But then when I was about 12, 13 years old, I became an atheist, and it's because I was bullied, and I had prayed to God, make it go away, and of course, God doesn't work that way.
No, he doesn't.
And so I was an atheist from probably 12 years old into my 20s, and then I came to America, and I had a profound experience that was actually a bad experience, but it turned out to be a great experience in retrospect, because it brought me into this whole whirlwind of spirit communication.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I learned that God doesn't work that way either. I mean, when I was a kid, I was praying and praying for a bicycle, never got it. So then I learned how God works, and so I stole one and prayed for His forgiveness.
I was just about to say you probably stole one.
It's a little joke, just a little joke.
My guess is that Canadians are just always super nice. Now, whether they're really nice, deep down, I don't know, I think so. But Canadians that I have, they're such great people.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm dual citizenship now, but at heart, I was born and raised in Canada and stayed there for the first 30 years of my life,
Yep. So then you're born, bred Canadian with a U.S. passport.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right?
So, that's exactly right. So, let's get to some of these questions to give some of our listeners. Before we even start with the questions, we got a caller on the line. Would you mind taking a call? We have this a woman by the name of Debbie from New York. So let's hear from Debbie. And Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hello,
Debbie. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the show.
I didn't know if it was me because my name is actually Denise from New York, so I guess he just got my name.
Oh, okay. I heard Debbie, our producer.
Say Debbie. <That's okay. laughs>
Sorry about that. Okay, Denise. Well,
That's
Denise, welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you so much. First, I want to say I've had the pleasure of being read by Siri in the past when you had one of your night of mediums. I had her at my table.
Aren't you lucky?
Very lucky. So Siri, my question is, I have a friend who, as of late, I'm going to say in the last 10 to 12 months, has been having visions, angels, predictions of things coming through. She's legit. It's legitimate. And it scared her at first and overwhelmed her. But then what she realized is that two things overwhelm her the most is that it comes without notice and she has no control over it. And after it passes, it's leaving her very depleted of energy and very hungry. So she said it could come up on her at work, which is an inappropriate time to be, you know, blurting out messages from, you know, deceased loved ones. Like, it's coming at inappropriate times. And her question, she was wondering how she can kind of set her working hours for allowing them to contact her. And what can you do to protect your energy?
Okay, so this is a great question. So the first thing that I want to say is that if I was read by you at one of those tables, that's like really a long time ago, like many years ago.
Yes, you know what? It was actually a few days before the Boston bombing, because I emailed you after that because you told me that you lived in Boston, and I just, I was, maybe 2012 or something?
Yeah, it was probably 2012. That's not, it feels like ages ago. It's almost, it's 8 years ago. It's almost 9 years
ago. It is ages ago. February was ages ago.
I know. It feels like 20 years since February. because I live really close by the Boston bombing, and I actually heard the whole entire thing, and then I ran outside and I saw the whole chaos. So in terms of your friend, so a few things. She should set boundaries. The first thing is meditate. Spend some time in meditation each and every day. I would say at least 3 times a week. Try to find
She does do that daily. Good. She does do that daily.
Good. Okay. Have a journal where she can write in the journal. She can ask her guides to come and sit with her when she's in the meditation. And she should also control how much time they have. If she says to them, you'll get 15 minutes, then they should also know that, okay, 15 minutes. And then they give her a download of 15 minutes. And then she can write down those messages. In the meditation, it is really important that she surround herself with white light and that she can actually do an exercise where she's breathing into the light and making it more and more dense. That said, there are some mediums, some psychics that say, oh, you should always, have like a whole bubble of light around you. I tend to say, no, leave a little bit of an opening up top of the crown chakra so that in case she needs access, like in case she needs the guys to come and talk to her, that they can actually have fairly easy access to her crown chakra. But everything is on her terms. The other thing that she also should be doing is setting boundaries. Like when she's done the meditation, that she says to her guys, okay, you can only come to me at this time. Like these are my office hours. And so let's say she's home from work at 7 p.m. and then she says 7:15 is a good time for them to show up. And then she says, okay, 7:15, you can come. And if you have any messages, then she can write them down. The other thing that I was going to say also in terms of receiving energies and receiving information and writing it down, it would be really helpful for her to take classes so she understands what she's doing and how she's doing it. So there's this method where she can actually have a conversation with her guides or with her helpers where she does it like a journalist interviewing the spirit. Mm-hmm. And she can use the question like who, where, why, what, when, and all that, and then she gets more detail with it. Now, what is really important is also in terms of like the depletion of energy. Healthy food is essential. And what I mean by this is have her try to shift her diet into like no sugar, organic foods for the most part, like just organic foods. That's what I'm going to say because I found a huge shift when I went into organic foods only. And then she may get a craving after giving a message to someone, and then she can have something by her side, like if she wants to have, like one thing that she wants to grab on, like whether this is, I'm going to tell you honestly, like what I do before I'm reading these days, I have one of these small propolis lozenges because I know I'm going to be talking for 2 hours, so I want to have a clear throat. Sometimes after a reading, I find myself craving salty things. And so I might have like a little bit of popcorn or something, you know, like something just small, but I make sure that
something
it's
light,
organic.
Just to
very, very light. Yeah.
So do you have an issue though, where just in your regular day, if you go to the supermarket, that a spirit is coming at you? Do you have that?
No.
Or have
no,
you controlled that?
I have business hours. My business hours is when What is interesting, I'm going to share this with you also. A lot of people, they ask me, well, don't you meditate all the time? And I'm like, no, I meditate before the reading. Before every single session that I do, I spend half an hour before the session, and then I spend specifically 15 minutes, and I begin to download, and I get try to get really specific information before mm-hmm. I actually call the person or before I see them. And so I get really depleted at the end of the week. Like, for instance, today I did my last session today. That was kind of like the last session of like a few of them in 1 week. And so today is kind of like my Friday. And so I'm going to admit that I'm really exhausted. And then what I do tomorrow and the following day, I'm going to rest. And so there are some people that build up their energy by going out for walks, running, swimming, whatever might get her. It's kind of like a little bit like those radios that you have to wind up, or if you have like a light, flashlight that you have to wind up. Okay. It's a little bit like this, doing something different that she knows will bring energy into her lesson, not depleting her more. Being also really careful. So the other thing also, like when she's with people, always surround herself with positive people. If she's around negative people, she needs to know that she has the option to walk away. She does not need to be in the presence of people that are difficult to deal with or negative that drain her. She needs to know that she has the power. And that is really important also. You know.
Thank you so much. I wrote down everything that you said.
The other thing, one last thing that I was going to say, if she feels really drained by people around her or by her surroundings, she could possibly also get one of these noise-canceling headphones and wear those if she's going to the grocery store, because then she's more in her own space and nobody's going to bother her. You know, that's another solution to it. But I think building up the white light in meditation and being really firm on this one, because I've heard from other people, I have a really big, dense light around me, and I feel really safe in it.
Except, but you keep the opening. You said at the crown.
Yeah, I always keep a little bit of an opening. Yeah.
Okay.
Always a little bit.
Thank you so much, Siri.
Thank you for calling in, Denise. Thank you for your question.
Thank you so much, Roman. Thank you so much.
That was an awesome question.
Take care. Yeah, it was an awesome question. Made my job very easy.
Yeah.
So, that's great. And that advice that you just gave Denise, I've heard it time and again. Especially about you being in command of what spirits enter and at what time, and setting times, and you know, that's very, very doable and very, very important. So it's very good advice.
But you know what is interesting? I think that every medium is really different. Like, I know, for instance, that Janet Meyer, she's one of the Forever Family Foundation mediums. She's really different from me, because she does like little bits and pieces all throughout the week. I couldn't do that. Like, I have to, if I'm doing a session like at 11 a.m. at 10:30, the spirits, they know this is her time, she will open up, you know?
Yep. Well, different strokes for different folks, right?
Exactly.
So that's, exactly. So let's get one of our members' questions to you. So can you speak to... do mediums receive any information about world events? If so, what do they do with what they learn? Is there a place to register and share their predictions, like earthquakes, elections, inventions, you know, that kind of thing?
So I'm not sure if there's a place where this information is shared. I'm going to be honest about this. I tend to talk to one of my good friends, and I will say to my good friend, I will say, like, you know, I think this is going to happen. And then I say, I think this is going to happen. And what is interesting, and it's so fascinating, because apparently about a year ago or so, I did a reading for a young man. He was in my office. It was in-person session. And there was a part of the reading at the time that he just didn't understand it. And I said to him, like, well, next year you're going to be working off and on, or you're going to be having like really odd like schedule, or your work hours are going to be way off, wonky. And he kind of like shrugged his shoulders and sort of shrugged it off and didn't get it. And he said, like, that's fine. But then, so that was sometime, I think, in September a year ago. And then in October a year ago, I actually said to someone, and I actually said it also on social media, I said, I think there will be illness in Washington coming this spring, like in March or April. But I didn't realize what I was saying. I just saw like sort of a dark cloud over Washington, and I had no idea what it meant. I didn't go into it further. But then when COVID hit, it all made sense. When this client, he came back into my office for a reading maybe 2 weeks ago or so, he said, because people, they will look familiar, but I will not remember them. And I said to him, like, you look really familiar, so I must have seen you before. And he said, yes. And then I said, well, it must have been helpful. And he said, well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't helpful. So, and then I said, so what happened? And he said, well, there's this one odd thing you said. And then he said, you told me that my work would be really wobbly. And so he was furloughed. But he was working, like, you know, he was working a little bit here and a little bit there. Mm-hmm, so that was all true.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah. So, yeah, we do see world events, but we don't know nothing. Always know exactly where to place them or what to do with them.
Have you got any insight to whether we're going to have a peaceful transition in Washington in January?
Honestly, I do not think it's going to be peaceful. And quite frankly, on the day of the election, I kind of knew that Biden would not be he would not be the winner, because people were asking me, and I knew that there was there wouldn't be a winner, and Biden would not be the winner. And I kind of knew that by Saturday there would be more coming to light, and I knew there would, I saw.
Oh, you mean Trump not being the winner? Biden did win.
No. Neither one of them would be winner on election day.
Oh, okay. On the election day. Okay, yeah.
On election day, there was no winner.
That's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I said to my friend, I think there will be probably on Saturday, and I thought in my heart, I thought maybe around midday there will be some sort of announcement of some sort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
I saw
that,
blue.
That
and I asked
to
my
be
friend,
true, yeah.
And I asked my friend, what color do you say? I see, and she said, I see blue. What is interesting, I never ever saw a blue wave, never. So I knew there would not be a blue wave, and I do think that it's going to go through the court.
Right. Well, hopefully it's peaceful, whatever happens. You know, it might not be easy, but as long as it's peaceful, you know, that's the most important thing.
I'll be away.
So is it difficult hearing various souls speaking at the same time when you're, you know, also listening to the sitters? Like, how do you decide what to listen to?
So the way I work, I have them, it's kind of like soap bubbles, except that I can control how they fly around my head. And so with me, they tend to come in on my right-hand side, and I bring them in, and I bring them so close that I can blend with them. And so then I get to the point where I can see through their eyes, and I will relive their experiences. Sometimes I'm a little confused by what they show me, but I usually get to the end point. Like, I can usually share exactly through their eyes, so I will actually see through their eyes as if they were living. And I will oftentimes I'm going to be able to experience the last moment of their lives. I don't always understand what is going on, but I'm able to say it.
Right.
So when one spirit has expressed whatever they want to say, I can then push them out of my energy, and then I invite the next one to come in. So I control this, and the best analogy that I can come up with is I am the conductor of the orchestra, and I know that I need to be in a place where I can create beautiful music. And you know, like, I know nothing about music, but you know how, like, when we listen to classical music, there's chapters to the different themes?
There's different movements,
Yes, different movements, I guess it is. So for me, it's kind of like moving from one movement into the next and then into the other one again. It's kind of like if you were to listen to Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every season has their own essence. And so for me, I'm really good at separating them.
Fantastic. And you know what, Siri?
Yeah.
Almost half the show has gone by. Can you believe it? So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. I know. I know. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So everybody stay tuned, and we're back with Siri in a couple of minutes, and it's going to be fascinating.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
So, hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here with Siri Bernstein, and we're just having a great old time. You know, she's doing a bang-up job answering questions from Forever Family Foundation members and, you know, giving us a lot of insight into the whole practice of mediumship. So, before we got into the break, we were talking about, you know, how you listen to many different things at the same time and how you're able to separate it, such as like the different movements in, you know, in a classical piece or whatever. So, yeah, that's really cool. I totally can relate because I'm a musician myself. And,
so I totally so you understood. That.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So okay, do any others in your family have these mediumistic or psychic abilities?
So there were stories on my grandmother, on my the grandmother that I was named after. There were stories that she was very, very psychic. And that she had this, that she had this gift also. She passed away when I was 12.
Oh, and, okay.
But she was everyone's favorite. Everyone loved her. And then there were stories also that my great-grandmother on my mom's side, so I had it in the family, and then I do know that one of my nieces is also super sensitive, and I know that she has the gift, even though she doesn't want to have anything to do with it. I just know it. But she is
around.
That type. Yeah. No,
I'm sure she'll come around.
Nah.
We'll see. I think when she matures a little more.
Not her. She's like 20-something. Not her thing.
Oh, okay. I thought she was like. I see. Okay.
No, so, she's 20-something.
So we have a. I have kind of a long-winded question. This is This is actually from a daughter of a mother who actually was read by you a couple of times.
Oh.
She asks, "Can you speak about what happens when a sitter cannot follow through with the advice that the spirit offers during a reading. She says she doesn't mind if we share any specifics, and she goes on to say that her daughter was read by you a couple of times, and on both times, spirit came through urging her daughter not to let the house go. And after each reading, the daughter shared it with the mother, and they both knew that it referred to their parents' home in Maine. But sadly, there were other family members involved, and they couldn't hold on to the house, even though they really wanted to. So they weren't able to fulfill, like, the advice of, you know, one of the spirit guides or whatever. So what do you think about that?
So, you know, we have free will. And I actually talk about this, that we have the free will, and we do not, we cannot control other, like, we cannot control other people. And a spirit may come through with the advice, please hold on to it because it may be beneficial in the future. But then you have this one person in the family that wants to go against everyone else, and then they have the final say. We can't really control that, and all we can do is kind of like surrender to the outcome. But then I have this belief that if one thing did not work out, something better will come. You know, so that is my belief. But it is true. There are some people that just they work from their ego, and they don't want to listen to other people, and it has to be their way or the highway. It's not very healthy, but there are people like that. But yeah, it's the free will. There is this free will.
I guess well, everybody has free will, and this whole thing that you brought up about egos, that is very, very important because there's, you know, the ego is a it's kind of works against you, you know.
I know. I can tell you this, that even in my family, we're still dealing with my parents' estate, and it's almost 4 years, and it's because we had different ideas on what should happen. But, you know, one of my siblings came around, and it took a while to have them come around. But also, I used the power of prayer. When my mom passed away, I prayed to my mom to have it really work in my favor. And it is. It's taken a long time, but it is finally, hopefully.
Don't feel bad about 4 years.
But it's usually it should
don't feel bad about 4 years. My parents took 20 years. My dad took 20 years to sell his mom's estate. nothing.
But the law in Iceland, it says that you have to come to terms. You have to come to a conclusion with the estate within 2 year time period. And so my sister was able to extend it by a year, and then she was able to extend it by another year. So 2 years is the maximum. So 4 years is lost. I prayed. That's all I did. I prayed.
Okay. And, you know, things always seem to work out in the end, I guess.
You see, I think it's the power of prayer, and I think also I pray on a lot of things. Like, I will get in my car, and I will pray for my own safety in my car because I've been in a car accident. So I'm really odd in that sense. Like, I will pray, but I'm very specific about my prayer.
Right. Nice. You know? So another question from one of our readers or one of our members. Do you ever have any spirits come through that have passed, like, a half a century or even a full century prior?
Yes, but you know what? Their energy feels less solid sometimes than those that we have in our memory. So, you know, like if it's been like 20 or 30 years, they will come through. But they may not stay as long as maybe somebody else that has passed recently. So they will come through. But I can tell you this, like what is interesting is that my favorite grandmother, she has only come through one time, and I've been doing this now for 20 years, and I think she's only come through once, maybe twice, in the 20 years that I've been doing this. Yeah, through other mediums. She just doesn't come
through other mediums, right. Yeah, would you be able to call her up if you wanted to, or is it not that easy because of the closeness?
No, I could. You know what? I could, but for some reason in my heart, I don't feel the need. But what is interesting, her birthday was a couple of days ago, and my cousin, I'm going to tell you a little story. So so my favorite grandma was on my dad's side, and everyone adored my grandma. And then when I was born, I was the one that got her name. I was the youngest in my mom and dad's litter, if I can say that.
Uh-huh.
Then my auntie, she had four boys, and she was always hoping to have a girl so she could pass down the name. And then she had the fourth boy, and she ended up using the name, like my name, the Sigrid, but for the male version of it. And he was born with Down syndrome. But I'm going to tell you this. He is the cutest one ever. He's now like 50-something years old, I think. I can't remember how old he is. But every single year that our grandmother has a birthday, and she was born in 1910, and she's been gone since 79 or 78 or in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find so fascinating is my cousin with a Down syndrome, every single year he will send me a message, hey, today is grandma's birthday. And she would have been like 110 or 100 something. Like, you know, it's just, it's so adorable.
Wow, that is adorable. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, do mediums like report any communications like with sitters, guides during sessions?
What do you mean?
I mean, okay, let's say you have a sitter. I mean, some of these are oddly worded as I'm reading them, but.
That's okay.
But I think I understand the question. I think it's just a simple question. Do spirit guides come through during sessions? And, you know,
yes. So
my spirit guide, like, for example.
Yes. So, again, every medium is different. And so how I work, I shift my energy. I when I'm doing the mediumistic stuff, I really go into the higher realm. If somebody is in my office or on the Zoom and they say, I would really love to hear from my spirit guide, then how I work is I have to have validation of information that is understood from someone in the spirit world that the sitter recognizes. If the sitter recognizes the spirit coming through, only then do I feel comfortable then bring through a spirit guide. And even then, when I bring through the spirit guide, I will ask for confirmation. As in, like, has the spirit guide come in a dream? Have the sitters had any experiences with it? So I'll go into that. What is also interesting, because I studied past life regression, I have not worked as a past life regression therapist because I was just way too busy with my mediumistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also been able to go into past lives or connections. I don't do it much, but I know I could do it more. But I always have to have the validation. I have to have evidence before I even attempt going in there. Because for me, it is so important that we establish the evidence, and once that is established and we're in the energy and the sitter understands, then I can take the session anywhere.
Right. Yeah, because if you have doubt, that would completely affect your inability to get the messages, I would assume.
We don't connect, and I think that every medium has to be honest about it. Like, there are days when I'm just off. And if I'm off, I will apologize to my sitter. I will say, I'm really sorry. And then I usually have the rule of three, which is my three R's, which is I will offer them to reschedule, and the reschedule session can be really out of this world. I will offer them a refund, or I will offer them a referral. And most of the time, I give them a referral from one of the Forever Family Foundation mediums. But if it's local, I may give them a referral of a very, very good friend of mine who is out of this world excellent, not a Forever Phone, but I will only send the people to the best ones. And for that reason, evidence is key in the beginning of every single session. If I am off, I am honest about it. I'll apologize.
Right.
And I never blame myself, and I never, ever, ever blame the sitter. It just didn't happen that day. Because there are some mediums, they will say that, oh, you know, he or she was not open, or he or she was sitting with their legs crossed or arms crossed. And I'm thinking like to myself, like, no, when you're connected, you're connected. However they sat on the chair doesn't matter.
Is there anything that you could do or recommend to your clients for an optimal experience?
To have an open mind. I think the key is to have an open mind, because I have had people in my office where I said, well, today I'm going to be talking about relationships. And then I say something really specific. I say, I see that your dad, I see that your mom is living in mom and dad's house. And then it's like, no, this is not mom's house, this is dad's house. I'm thinking to myself, like, that's not really an open mind. And then I might say, and I see that your brother has a painting shop at this plaza. It's like, no, I don't talk to my brother. And then I say, well, I never said anything about you not talking to him. I said that he has a painting or a hardware store at this plaza. Oh, yes, he does, you know.
Huh.
So open my ear. Sometimes people that come in with an agenda, and I think that is probably the worst thing ever, is to come in with an agenda. I want to hear specifically this.
Right.
Having an open mind and having the ability to flow with the information is essential.
Yeah. Well, most people come in for readings, you know, because they want to connect with the deceased loved one. And so there's a bit of an agenda, but they got to come in with an open mind, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
you expect
like other people to connect as well, or to make connections with other spirits or other people in your family that have transitioned, which is completely, you know, and that has been my experience. I went and saw this one medium, and she just blew my socks off how good she was. She identified my son by his name, pulled it out of thin air, and I didn't do any credit card transactions. I said, I'll pay you cash, and I called her from a conference line at General Electric where there's 10,000 people working. There's no way she could have known. So, she completely blew my mind. And from that day, I was like hooked. Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
There is something to this.
Yeah, but you see, there's also the other thing also, like, I'm not really good with names. I may get initials, but I'm not the best with names, but I get other information that could be really, really, really specific.
Yeah, actually, you know what? You just jogged my memory. She gave the initials also. And then she went and described, you know, my grandmother's, who are also in the room, you know, and in spirit, that is, and to a T. Like the personalities to it, so it was kind of interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, but can anybody be a medium?
Yes or no. But I was going to respond to this one other
please,
thing here. Also,
do.
Like, so when people book with me, they do it all online, and I'm so honest about it. Like, you know, like they have to fill out like the name and whatnot on the phone number and email. Honestly, I never look at it. I have, like, zero interest in knowing who I'm seeing. The only thing that I do just to be polite, not just to be polite, but just to know who I'm talking to when I'm talking to them, is that I will look at the first name only. And so
if
somebody comes into my office and their name is Joanne, at least I can say to them, hello, Joanne, how are you? But I know nothing about them because I just don't look at it. I have other things to do than look at.
I've actually heard mediums tell me that looking into their information might hamper them. You know what I mean? It might.
Yeah. I don't know.
It might. You know, and there's mediums.
I just never look at it.
They never look at it because they're kind of scared to look at it. They don't want to anything to affect the reading, kind of thing. And they're scared.
Exactly.
A lot of mediums are scared that by finding out information, it might, you know, it might risk the quality of the reading because you're not letting the spirit do the talking. You might be clouding it with actual facts from this side of the veil. You know what I mean?
So you're in
very good company with the way that you feel.
I think most of the best mediums they have a very specific way of working. Like either they have assistants and the assistant will say to them, oh, you're saying so and so at 2 p.m. I don't have the assistant, but at least I will look at the first name only. But the other thing that I was going to respond to you also in terms of can everyone be a medium? So mediums are born. Everyone is born psychic, and I often refer to it as the choir. We can go to a concert, and we can listen to Adele, and we can just absolutely be blown away by her talent. But then one day she might do a concert, and she might do a concert with the choir in the background. And so everyone can learn how to sing, or most people should be able to learn how to sing. And so everyone can learn how to do the mediumistic, like to connect the spirits. But you will have the few that will really stand out front and center on stage that can actually really connect with a perfect pitch. So that's kind of how I say it.
Very nice, very nice. And with that, we're going to go to our second break. We got a little bit of time left, so. Everybody, stick around. We got a lot more interesting questions for Siri, and we'll be back right after the break.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Here we are talking with Siri for the last part of the show. It's gone super fast and super amazing. So you know what? Before we sign off, we've got a couple of more questions for Siri. So what do you think about when people transition to the other mm-hmm. side? How do you think what kind of experiences do they report having? So what is your take on what happens when we die?
So when we die, So the first thing that I would like to say is that I always experience us heaven being right with us. Like we live parallel lives to them. Heaven is not out there in the blue sky. It's not like way, way, way far away. Mm-hmm. Now, when people pass away, and when I do this technique where I blend with this person that is passing away, and of course it doesn't always happen, but it happens quite frequently, that I'm able to blend with them. I'm able to share with a sitter in my office or over on Zoom. I'm able to tell them like who is there by their side when they pass away. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are really worried about when their loved ones are dying that they're not alone. And every single person has their own way of doing this because people, they may pop over to the restroom and then like they died while they were in the restroom because it was a private thing for them. But
right.
When I blend, when I really, truly, and absolutely blend with a person who is passing away, I can sense from the energy. So through the experience of the dying person, I can sense the energy of who is on my left and who is on my right and who is standing in the doorway, who was the person who was coming in and out and was not here constantly sitting by my side. I have felt it when people are dying and when their loved one, they crawl into bed with them and they hold them tight for like a long time, for minutes, they hold them tight. So even though the person may have passed away, mm-hmm. that their soul or their spirit is in the room still. And I can experience everything through their senses, and it's fascinating. So when they do transition, my first view, what they show me is that usually someone is there in heaven that is their favorite loved one that has already gone before them. And so I tend to look at it like being born. When women go into labor and they give birth, there usually are people around them helping them give birth. And the same thing kind of happens in my experience in heaven. When a person passes away, there's a team of helpers on the other side. Those could be spirit guides or angels, but there's also a team of loved ones that will be there reaching their hand to them. And then they're met with this immense amount of love. The one thing that also that I have experienced is that everything feels really, really bright in heaven. Like it's like there's no night. It just feels like the sun is always out. It just feels always sunny and blissful love. That's how it feels.
Wow, that's amazing.
The other day, I was with a friend of mine. I was with a friend of mine, Dahlia, up in Rockport. I was in the field of dahlias. They have a dahlia farm in Rockport, Massachusetts. And I was standing in the middle of the field, and there was almost like nobody there, just me and my friend. And these were all gorgeous dahlias, just a field of them. And I thought to myself, my goodness gracious, this is what heaven is like. And I actually took a video of this, and it's on my Instagram. And the video doesn't even do justice what I saw and what I experienced. But heaven is kind of like the field of flowers. It is whatever we really, truly love to do here in life. There's a lot of times when people, let's put it this way, like people that met at a dance when they were young, they meet at a dance, and then they get married, and then they live a lifetime of loving to go and dance somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, what I see, like they will have their loved one, like their husband or the wife, like reaching the hand down to them and say, let's go and dance, my love. And then they go dancing away.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, what you said is very comforting because, you know, we're living at a time where we have opioid issues and young people transitioning because of that, because of overdoses. And, you know, like those words that you just said, you know, can be very comforting to a lot of parents. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that in today's society, because just this past, I think the past 10 days or 2 weeks, I had far too many young people come through that had passed from an overdose. And I'm at a point where I feel like the big pharma needs to be held responsible, because what I have seen is that kids are teenagers and they're already then, they're popping pills. Like they need to figure out how to deal with their ADD or ADHD. One, you know, like I think there's different ways of getting therapy.
behavioral mm-hmm. therapy, changing the diet, getting into a healthy diet, organic diet, making sure that all the vitamins and iron, good check and all that. But my experience with people, with young people dying when they're like 20, 21, 22, from unnecessary deaths, who is responsible? And I'm at a point where I'm really upset. I don't have kids, but I'm really, really upset on behalf of the parents that are losing these young children.
Right.
You know, because there's a responsibility, and somebody needs to take responsibility for this.
Absolutely. Listen, you know what? We're out of time, Siri. Really, really great talk. Yeah, we are. It's been really, really great talking to you. And just before we leave, I just wanted to let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. So it's www.spiritoflight.com. So the Spirit of Light, it's one word, .com. Is that correct? Did I do that right?
Yep. Yeah, so it's spiritoflight.com. It could also be siriburnson.com. It goes to the same it goes to the same website.
Okay.
And if they want to email me, it's just siri@spiritoflight.com. And I'm pretty good at responding to emails.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you very much for a very fascinating show, Siri. We really appreciate your wisdom and your insights.
And I appreciate
can't wait to talk to you again.
thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun. We'll do it again. I can't wait.
Okay.
So with that, good night, everybody. And, you know, our loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it one day. Thank you, everybody. Good night.